olive skin bronzed by both the sun and our shared ancestry. I reached over, tentatively brushing a strand of hair off Vittoria's brow, and yanked my hand back at the warmth that still lingered. Vittoria? Can you move? Her eyes were fixed and empty. I waited for her to blink, then wheeze with laughter. She never suppressed her giggles for long. Vittoria didn't move. I didn't inhale or exhale either. I stood there, looking down at her, caught somewhere between denial and terror. I could not make myself understand the sight before me. I tugged at my hair. I'd seen her just an hour or two earlier. This had to be another one of her stupid pranks. Vittoria, I whispered, hoping for a response. Seconds stretched into minutes. She stared, unblinking. Maybe she was unconscious. I reached over and shook her a little. Please, move. Even with her eyes open, she looked so peaceful, laying with a shroud tucked up under her chin. Like she was in a deep, enchanted trance, and a prince would soon come and kiss her awake. Something twisted deep inside me. This was no fairy tale. No one coming to break the spell of death. But I should have been here to rescue my sister. If I'd only left the restaurant sooner, maybe I could have done something to save her. Maybe that murdering beast would have taken me instead. Or maybe I should have insisted that she listen to Nonna and stay in. I could have told our grandmother about the amulets. There were 100 different choices laid out before me, and I'd done nothing. Maybe if... I closed my eyes against the rush of darkness surging through me. Which was worse? This had to be another horribly vivid fantasy I created. There was no way this was real. And yet, when I opened my eyes again, there was no denying that Vittoria was dead. A steady drip broke into my thoughts. It seemed so strange, so mundane a noise. And yet I focused on it intently. It helped to drown out the incessant buzzing and whispering I could still hear. Maybe madness was creeping in. The drip slowed. It meant something, the absence of it. I couldn't think of it now. The strange whispering finally grew too quiet to hear, like whatever had caused it had moved far away. A sob broke the growing silence. It took a moment to realize it came from me. The chamber spun until I nearly collapsed. My twin. My best friend. Gone. We'd never drink or laugh or plan our future. She'd never mock Nonna's superstitions or jump out from the shadows again. We'd never fight or make up. She'd never push me to be bolder or tell me to grab my dreams by the throat. I didn't know who to be without her. Had to go on. No. I shook my head, refusing to accept it. There was magic or trickery at play. Vittoria couldn't be dead. She was young and vibrant and so full of life. Vittoria danced the hardest at festivals, praised the moon and the goddess of night and stars the loudest, and always made everyone feel like her very best friend. I didn't know who this still, silent person was. Through my tears, I pulled the shroud completely off. The dress she wore was white, like an offering. It was finely made silk, accentuated by lace. I had never seen it. We weren't poor, but we certainly couldn't purchase something like that. Not unless she'd been saving for the last few summers. The delicate bodice destroyed. Her cornicello missing. I screamed. Her heart had been ripped from her chest. The hole jagged and angry. It was a gaping black and crimson chasm in her body. So unnatural, I knew if I lived 1,000 years, I'd never erase the sight of it from my memory. I stared at the blood, finally understanding the source of the incessant dripping. It pooled under her body and splattered down the altar. There was so much blood. It looked... I fell to my knees, heaving up everything in my stomach. I retched again and again until there was nothing left. I closed my eyes, and the image there was even more terrible. I dragged in breath after breath, but it didn't help with the dizziness. Now that I'd seen the blood, all I could smell was the metallic scent of death. It was everywhere, permeating everything. I went hot and cold in flashes. I slipped forward and splayed across the stone. I tried pushing myself up and fell again. I was covered in my twin's blood. I curled onto my side and trembled. This was a nightmare. I'd wake soon, I had to. Nightmares didn't last forever. I just had to make it through the night. Then everything would be okay. I'm not sure how long I stayed there, shaking and sobbing on the floor. But at least an hour or two had passed, maybe more. I needed to get help. Not that anyone could save Vittoria now. With weak arms, I finally pushed myself back up and stared at my sister, unable to reconcile the truth before me. Murdered. The word clanged through me like a death knell. Fear cleaved through my despair. My sister had been murdered. I needed to get help. I needed to find safety. I needed to... I dragged the stranger's blade across my palm and held my bleeding hand over my sister's body. I swear on my life, I will make whoever did this pay, Vittoria. I looked at her one last time, then ran like the devil was coming for my cursed soul next. Chapter 6. Revelers jostled into me, splashing cups of wine down their tunics and dresses, laughing and trying to swing me into a dance, to indulge in their merriment, to celebrate the victory of life over death their blessed saint brought them all those years ago. In a daze, I walked past our darkened restaurant, long since closed for the night, and found my way into our neighborhood. The hem of my skirts was soaked from goddess knew what. The material clung to my ankles and itched like mad. I kept moving, ignoring any discomfort. I had no right to feel anything when my sister would never feel again.
Little witch, all alone.
It was no louder than a hiss, but the voice sent a violent shudder down my spine. I spun on my heel and stared into an empty street. Who's there?
Memories like hearts can be stolen.
The voice was behind me now. I jerked around, heart racing, and saw nothing. This isn't real, I whispered. My mind was just taunting me with horrific things after finding my sister's mutilated body. It seemed my invisible ghost demon had found a voice, a thought so ridiculous I couldn't even entertain it as truth. Go away!
He wishes to remember, but he forgets. He's coming here soon.
Who is the man who did this to Vittoria? I pivoted, skirts twisting around me. Not a single living thing was in the street. In fact, it seemed eerily still, like someone had snuffed out all life. No lights were on inside homes, no movement or noise. I couldn't hear the bustle and excitement of the festival either. Thick, unnatural fog crept along the ground and curled around my feet, bringing with it the scent of sulfur and ash. None, though, would claim it was a sign demons were near. I wondered if some murdering human was hiding in the shadows, waiting with a knife. "Who's coming?" I demanded, feeling more and more like I was trapped in some terrible nightmare. I closed my eyes and forced myself to snap into reality. I couldn't fall apart now. When I open my eyes again, everything will be normal. And it was. There was no sulfuric fog. Sounds of family sitting down together floated through open windows, and jeers of drunken festival goers echoed all around. I rubbed my arms and hurried toward my house. Ghostly demons, disembodied voices, devilish fog. I knew exactly what was going on. I was suffering from hysterics, and now was not the time. Vittoria's body needed to come home for death rites. I could hide my own despair and disillusions away long enough to do that much for her. After a few more minutes of mindlessly pushing forward down familiar streets, I stood outside our stone house and paused under the trellis covered with plumeria, unable to formulate the words I needed to say. I had no idea how to deliver the news to my family. In moments, they'd all feel like they'd been beaten and broken, too. From here on out, our lives would never be the same again. I imagined my mother's scream, my father's tears, the horror in Nonna's face, knowing all her preparations to save us from evil had been pointless. Vittoria was dead. I must have cried out or made some small noise. A swath of golden light cut through the darkness before fading as quickly. Nonna was at the window, waiting. She'd likely been there since she came home, worrying and fretting. Her warnings about the devil stirring the seas and the sky being the color of his blood didn't seem like silly old superstition now. The door swung open before I finished climbing the steps carved into the front of our home and reached for the knob. Nonna started shaking her head, her eyes watering as she grabbed her cornicello. I didn't have to say anything. The blood staining my hands said enough. "No." Her bottom lip quivered. I'd never seen such despair and undulated fear in Nonna's face before. "No, it can't be." The hollowness inside me spread. All her lessons, all of our charms, for nothing. "Vittoria is..." I swallowed hard, the action nearly choking me. "She's..." I stared down at the serpent dagger I still held, but had no memory of taking. I wondered if it was the weapon that had taken my sister's life. My grip on it tightened. Nonna took one look at the dagger and wrapped me in her arms, holding me fiercely against her. "What happened, Bambina?" I buried my face in her shoulder, breathing in the familiar scent of spices and herbs. Hugging Nonna made everything real. The whole goddessless nightmare. "Your worst fears." Flashes of my twin and her missing heart crossed my mind, and whatever thread of strength I'd been clutching to snapped, plunging me into darkness. The day after we laid my sister to rest, I sat alone in our room, an unopened book in my lap. It was so quiet. I used to cherish peaceful days like this, when my twin was out being adventurous, and I was adventuring with a favorite character. A good book was its own brand of magic, one I could safely indulge in without fear of getting caught by those who hunted us. I loved escaping from reality, especially during times of trouble. Stories made everything possible. My attention moved to the door the same way it had all morning. Searching for a sign, Vittoria was about to charge through it, her face flushed and her grin wide. All remained still. Downstairs, a spoon clinked against the cast-iron cauldron. A moment later, herbal scents wafted up. Nonna had been making spell candles non-stop. She lit them for the Pulizia, helping to guide them in their search. Or so she claimed. I'd seen the juniper berry and belladonna candles she'd made with a dash of salt and a pinch of pepper. It was her own recipe, and it wasn't used for clarity. I set my book aside and went downstairs, hovering near the edge of the kitchen. Not quite hungry, but feeling empty, hollow. I hadn't felt like cooking or creating, and couldn't imagine ever feeling that light and free again. Living in a world without my sister felt dark and wrong. Nonna glanced up. Come, sit, Amelia. I'll make you something to eat. That's all right, Nonna. I can fix something. I went to the icebox and almost burst into tears when I saw the pitcher of limoncello wine Vittoria had made for me. No one had touched it. I quickly shut the door and perched on the edge of the closest stool. Here. Nonna set a bowl of sweetened ricotta in front of me, her expression kind. Desserts always go down easy. I pushed the creamy concoction around. Do you think someone found out what we are? Maybe Vittoria joked about the devil or demons to the wrong human. No, Bambina. I don't believe it was a human who attacked her at all. Not with the signs we've been receiving, or the blood debt. I'd forgotten all about the mysterious blood debt. It seemed an entire lifetime had passed since Nonna first mentioned it. You believe the blood debt is responsible for Vittoria's murder? Mm-hmm. It was part of an ancient bargain struck between La Prima and the devil. Some believe La Prima cursed the wicked, others believe the devil cursed witches. A warning came one day. When witch blood spills across Sicily, take your daughters and hide. The Malvagi have arrived. Now there's been 3 witch murders. It doesn't mean the wicked killed them. What about witch hunters? Don't you think that sounds more logical than demon royalty breaking out of hell? You know as well as I do how much humans fear witches, and how willing they are to commit the very sins they accuse us of. In fact, Antonio said a village not far from here is convinced shapeshifters have been cavorting with a goddess. Maybe someone like that saw Vittoria whisper a charm and killed her. The devil stirred the seas and made the sky bleed. What more will convince you that danger is knocking at our door that has nothing to do with mortals? What use do humans have with witch hearts? I took a deep breath, trying to calm the anger building inside me. This wasn't the time to believe stories passed down from generations ago. Now was the time to consider the facts that made the most sense. Starting with the first victim in Shaka, more than a week before Vittoria's murder, not a single witch family had come forward with information about the wicked's arrival. Until new evidence or proof was uncovered about the demon princes, I'd stick with my theory of a human being responsible. Are we going to speak with the police, Nonna?
If they investigate too closely and discover what we are, do you think your fate will be any different than your sister's?
I shook my head. I didn't want to fight with my grandma. I also couldn't quite figure out how to tell the police witch hunters might be to blame without casting suspicion on us. I was so frustrated I could scream. My twin had been murdered. No one who knew my sister would ever wish her harm, which meant it had to be a stranger, or someone who'd figured out what she was. According to Nonna, the other 2 victims were also witches. That wasn't a mere coincidence. It was a connection. The woman with a little power was terrifying to some. I curled my hands into fists, focusing on the pain of my nails sinking into my skin. Someone chose to hurt Vittoria, and I wanted to know who, why. What had Vittoria been doing in the hours leading up to the attack? She didn't usually visit the monastery, but I'd seen her there twice in as many days. It was possible she was meeting that strange dark-haired man there. For what purpose, I wasn't sure. She could have been secretly involved with him. Or maybe the murderer dragged her there against her will. Maybe she didn't know him at all, and he'd intercepted her while she'd been on her way elsewhere. I couldn't recall exactly what time she'd left Sea and Vine. That day had started off like any other. We'd gotten up, dressed, shared a morning meal, and went to work with our family to prep for the busy festival day. I hadn't even asked where she was going. I didn't know she wouldn't ever return. Tears threatened, but I held them in. If I could go back in time, I'd do so many things differently. I shoved the heels of my hands into my eyes and commanded myself to keep it together.
It's not easy for any of us, Emilia, Nonna said. Let this go. Let the goddesses take their vengeance in their own way. The first witch won't allow things to continue like this. Trust that she has a plan for the Malvagi, and work on your protection charms. Your family needs you.
I can't sit here while the person who killed her walks free. Please don't ask me to trust in a witch I've never met, or in goddesses I'm not sure really exist. Vittoria deserves justice.
Nonna cupped my face, her eyes watering. You must put this to rest for your family. Nothing good will come from knocking on doors best left closed. Find forgiveness and acceptance in your heart, or darkness will seep in and destroy you.
I excused myself and went back upstairs. I needed to be alone with my thoughts. I dropped onto my bed, haunted with memories of that cursed chamber where I'd found Vittoria. I'd gone over it again and again in excruciating detail, trying to figure out what brought my sister there. I was missing something vital, something that might help find Vittoria's killer. I closed my eyes and concentrated as hard as I could, pretending I was standing in that room again with her body. I kept thinking about how she was dressed. I had no idea where she'd gotten the white gown. She wasn't wearing it the last time I saw her, which begged the question of what she'd been doing that afternoon. Was she secretly about to marry Domenico? Or had she planned something else? Then there was the mystery of her missing cornicello. Nonna told us never to take off our amulets, and apart from that one time when we were 8, we never did. Or at least, I never did again. Maybe my sister had. But I couldn't fathom why. We didn't have to see or even fully believe in the wicked to fear them. Nonna's stories were terrifying enough. Vittoria joked about Nonna's superstitions, but she was out digging up grave dirt, swiping vials of holy water and blessing our amulets by the light of a full moon each month, right along with me. I rolled onto my side, contemplating the most troubling questions of all. If she hadn't taken her protection amulet off, who did, and where was it now? If a witch hunter discovered who she was, it was possible he took it as a prize. Maybe he suspected it was an actual magical object, unlike other human-made amulets. My thoughts turned to that dark-haired stranger again. Dressed in such fine clothes, he certainly wasn't a member of the Holy Brotherhood. And he didn't look like the sort to turn his life over to God. He seemed too defiant for religion. I hadn't met a witch hunter before, so I couldn't rule that out.
Maybe he was a thief. He'd certainly moved around the shadows with ease. I cursed myself for not chasing after him when I had the chance. When he fled, he took all of my answers with him. Except, things weren't entirely hopeless. I sat up, heart racing, and yanked open the drawer to my nightstand. Metal glinted in the light. He'd made one giant mistake. He'd dropped his dagger. Surely someone somewhere would recognize such a unique blade. My thoughts settled. That was it, then. I had something to focus on, aside from falling apart and reliving that night over and over. I took a few deep breaths, steeling myself against the next wave of tears, and vowed, one way or another, to find the mysterious stranger and discover exactly who he was, what he was doing, and how he knew my sister. And if he was the person who'd stolen her from me, I'd make him pay with his own life. Chapter 7. No matter how hard I dug my heels in and tried to halt time, 3 weeks passed since we'd buried my sister. 3 weeks of laying in her bed in our shared room, crying into the sheets that were slowly fading with her lavender and white sage scent. On good days, I came downstairs and sat before the fire in our kitchen, staring into the flames. I imagined myself burning, not like our ancestors at the stake. An ember of anger was slowly igniting within me, reducing the person I used to be to ash. At times, my simmering rage was the only indication I was still alive. After dinner service tonight, Nonna kept casting wary glances my way, muttering charms of good health and well-being while scouring our family grimoire. She didn't understand the hatred I was being consumed with, didn't see how I longed for revenge. Vengeance was now a part of me, as real and necessary as my heart or my lungs. During the day, I was a dutiful daughter, but once night fell, I scoured the streets, spurred on by a singular need to set right a terrible wrong. I hadn't found anyone who knew the mysterious stranger or recognized his deadly blade, and I wondered if they just didn't want to admit anything for fear of retribution. Each day that passed fueled my growing wrath. That dark-haired man had answers I needed, and I was losing what little patience I had. I'd started praying to the goddess of death and fury, making all sorts of promises if she'd help me find him. So far, the goddess couldn't be bothered. Buonasera, nonna. I set my satchel of knives on the kitchen counter in our home and dropped onto a stool. My parents insisted I spend a few hours in the restaurant each day. We could only afford to close Sea and Vine for a week to mourn Vittoria. Then, whether any of us liked it or not, life resumed. My mother still cried as often as I did, and my father wasn't doing much better. But they pretended to be strong for me. If they could try, the least I could do was trudge into the restaurant and slice some vegetables before collapsing back into my grief. Emilia, hand me the beeswax and dried petals. I found a few squares of wax and a tiny bundle of dried flowers on the sideboard. Nonna was making spell candles, and judging from the colors, white, gold, and pale purple, she was working a few different charms. Some for clairvoyance, some for luck, and some for peace. None of us had had much peace this month. The Pulizia tied my sister's murder to the two other girls. Apparently they also had their hearts ripped out, but there were no suspects or leads. They swore it wasn't for a lack of effort on their part. But after the initial meetings, they stopped coming by our home and restaurant. They stopped asking questions. Young women died. Life resumed. Such was the way of the world, at least according to men. No one cared that Vittoria had been slaughtered like an animal. Some more vicious gossips even hinted that she must have deserved it. She'd somehow asked for it by being too bold, or confident, or ungodly. If she'd only been a little quieter or more subservient, she might have been spared. as if anyone deserved to be murdered. My family almost seemed relieved when talk shifted to new scandals. They wanted to mourn and fade into the shadows again, hoping to escape scrutiny from neighbors and police. Nosy vendors from the marketplace came to our restaurant, ate at our tables, hoping for news. But my family was too practiced with secret keeping to give anything away. Claudia stopped by, Nonna said, breaking into my endless worries. Again? I sighed. I imagined my friend was desperate if she braved speaking with Nonna. Because Claudia's family practiced the dark arts, and because we were not supposed to associate with other witches for safety reasons, our lifelong friendship was a source of tension for each of our families. It was a rotten thing to do, but I'd been avoiding her, not ready to share our tears and grief just yet. I'll visit her soon.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the cauldron Nonna hung over the fire in our kitchen, breathing in the herbal mixture. I used to love when she infused her own oils. Now I could hardly sit through the process without thinking of my sister, and the time she'd beg Nonna to make special soap or cream. Vittoria loved crafting perfume as much as I adored blending ingredients into sauces. She used to sit where I was, head bent over secret potions, tinkering until she got the scent right. A bit of floral notes, a touch of citrus, and she always included an undertone of something spicy to balance it out. She'd whoop with delight and make us all wear her latest creation until we were sick of it. One fall, she made everything out of blood orange, cinnamon, and pomegranate, and I swore I'd never so much as look at any of them again. The memories were too much. I pushed away from the island and kissed my grandmother. Good night. Nonna inhaled deeply, like she wanted to impart some wisdom or comfort, but gave me a sad smile instead.
Buonanotte, bambina. Sleep well.
I climbed the stairs, dreading the silent, empty room that was once filled with so much joy and laughter. For a second, I considered torturing myself with watching Nonna make spell candles again. But grief weighted my eyelids and tugged at my heart. I slipped out of my muslin dress and into a thin nightgown, trying not to remember that Vittoria had the same one. Except when my ribbons were ice blue, hers were pale pink. The air was thick with summer heat, promising another restless night of tossing and turning. I padded barefoot across the floor and pushed the window up. I stared out across the rooftops, wondering if Vittoria's murderer was out there now, stalking another girl. Nearby, I swore a wolf howled. A singular, mournful note hung in the air, sending a shudder down my spine. In my haste to get into bed, I knocked over a glass of water. Liquid ran over a spot I'd forgotten about. It was a place in the floorboards where Vittoria hid things. Little trinkets like dried flowers, notes from the latest boy who loved her, her diary, and perfume she'd made. I rushed across the room, dropped to my knees, and almost broke my fingernails as I pried the board up. Inside were all the objects I remembered. Plus, a gambling chip with a crowned frog on one side, and two thick sheets of black parchment tied with matching string. I blotted them on my nightgown, hoping I hadn't ruined this precious piece of my twin. My hands trembled as I unrolled them. Gold roots edged the border, the ink shiny against the darkness of the oversized page. They were spells, torn from a grimoire I'd never seen. I scanned the script, but couldn't quite identify what it was used for. It listed herbs and specific colored candles and instructions in Latin. I pushed the sheets aside and pulled her diary into my lap. I was willing to bet my own soul that this was the key to unlocking what she'd been doing and who she'd mistakenly trusted in the days and weeks leading up to her death. I ran my fingers across the scarred leather,
Holding her diary made me ache with memories. That night, she'd write in it constantly, recording everything from each of my strange dreams to Claudia's scrying sessions, notes about her perfumes, spells and charms, and recipes for new drinks. I had no doubt she also told this diary each secret she'd been keeping from me. All I had to do was crack the spine, and I'd discover everything I needed to know. I hesitated. These were her private thoughts, and I didn't want to commit one more violation when she'd already suffered so much. I sat quietly, considering what she would urge me to do. I easily heard her voice in my head, telling me to stop thinking about the fall and to just jump. Vittoria took risks. She made hard choices, especially if it meant helping her family. In order to find out who killed her, I needed to follow in her footsteps, even if it made me uncomfortable. I inhaled deeply and opened the diary. Or I would have, if the pages weren't stuck together. I pulled a little harder, not wanting to destroy it, but worried the water had somehow damaged it. The book didn't budge. I yanked it with all of my strength. It didn't even bend. I scooted over to the wall, placed my feet on the lip of the back cover and my fingers along the front, and tried prying it. And nothing. A dark suspicion took shape. I whispered a spell of unveiling and tossed a pinch of salt over my shoulder for luck with deciphering the enchantment. Faint spider webbing in a violet-blue hue rose around the diary like a tangle of thorny vines. My sister had spelled it shut using magic I'd never seen before. Which meant she'd known exactly how dangerous her secrets had been. Chapter 8. Vittoria had done more than dabble in the dark arts. I couldn't open the diary using force, so I tried a spell of unmaking. Burned herbs that helped with clarity, lit candles, and prayed to every goddess I could think of. But the stubborn diary gave none of its secrets away. I tossed the book on the floor and cursed. Vittoria had used a spell I'd never encountered, which meant she'd probably figured out I'd snooped in her diary a few weeks ago. She really didn't want me to know her secret, and that made me even more determined to find out why. I paced around our little room, watching the sun slowly rise. I needed a plan, now. Aside from a forbidden truth spell here and there, I knew little of dark magic and how it actually worked. Nonna said the dark arts demanded payment, since they took from something instead of using what already was. I'd happily sacrifice whatever I needed to in order to get what I wanted. I had one large clue and no way to access it. Except, I smiled as an idea struck. I couldn't break the spell, but I knew someone who might be able to. Carolina Grimaldi. Carolina was Claudia's aunt, and had taken Claudia in when her parents left for America a year or two apart. She was well-versed in the dark arts, and was slowly teaching Claudia everything she knew. I didn't want to involve my friend, so I decided to go directly to the source of her knowledge. Carolina had a stall in the busy marketplace, and if I hurried, I might catch her before she opened her booth. I grabbed a satchel and stuffed the grimoire sheets and diary inside, then ran for the door. Nonna stepped into my path, frowning. Is the devil chasing you? I hoped not, but that was up for debate. Not that I know of. Good. Then you can see the minute and tell me where you're running off to at this hour. I almost confessed everything, but thought about my sister. Vittoria kept her secrets close and was willing to die with them. There had to be a good reason why. I wanted to stop by the marketplace for some spices before we start prepping for dinner service. I have an idea for a new sauce. Nonna stared at me hard, trying to see through my lies. Her expression was a cross between disappointment and suspicion. I hadn't shown much interest in food or creativity since Vittoria's death. Just when I convinced myself she'd send me back upstairs with a list of charm work, she stepped aside.
Don't be late. There's much to do.
Signore Grimaldi! I hiked up my skirts and charged through the streets. Luck was finally on my side. I caught Carolina right before she crossed the road into the marketplace. Carolina shielded her face from the rising sun and stepped into the shadows of a nearby alley when she spotted me.
Amelia, I'm sorry for... I don't have much time, Signora. I need your help with something delicate.
I pulled the diary out and glanced around, ensuring we were alone.
There's some enchantment on here I've never seen. I was hoping you might tell me what it is and how to break it.
She took a small step away, staring at the diary like it was an abomination.
Nothing of this realm will do what you seek. Put it back where you found it, child. Its very presence calls them.
Them?
The wicked. This magic stinks of their world. It wants to be found.
I stared at Carolina, wondering if Nonna had somehow figured out my plan and had gotten to the Dark Witch first.
This is my sister's diary, not some demon book.
Carolina nodded to my satchel.
Show me what you've got in there.
I did another subtle sweep of our surroundings before pulling out the grimoire sheets. I handed them to her, watching her face swiftly drain of color.
This is a summoning spell.
I don't understand. Why would my sister need a summoning spell?
Maybe she was trying to control a demon.
I studied the black sheets. That's impossible. All demons are trapped in hell, just like they've been for nearly 100 years.
Carolina snorted. Is that what your nonna's been telling you? Go home and try summoning one yourself, see what happens. Unless you have an object that belongs to a prince of hell, these spells should only call forth a lower-level demon. They're easy to control and often trade information for little favors or trinkets. And I promise you, they aren't all trapped in the underworld. Almost every witch, whether they pray to the goddesses of light or dark magic, knows that.
I stared at the dark witch, heart thudding. Are you suggesting my sister was summoning demons and asking them for favors before she died?
There's no way to know for sure what she was doing. But I guarantee those spells are strictly for summoning. I doubt a demon aided her without some sort of bargain. They don't believe in doing charitable work. There's always some gain in it for them.
She looked me over, her expression softening.
Forget what I said, child. Don't dabble in the demon realm. Whatever your sister was doing, I promise you'll want no part in it.
She sounded just like Nonna. I thanked her and said goodbye, then quickly made my way to see and Vine. Instead of answers, I had more questions. If Carolina was right about the spell on Vittoria's diary not being of this realm, then opening it was impossible. Unless... An idea slowly formed, one that made my pulse race. If my sister had summoned a demon, maybe she'd had it use its brand of magic to seal her diary. I couldn't imagine any other reason my twin would summon a demon aside from that. Despite the stories Nonna told us growing up, Vittoria knew I didn't really believe in the demon princes. I wasn't as skeptical about lesser demons, but I thought they were trapped in their realm with no means of escape. It would have been the perfect way for her to ensure I'd never unlock the secret she was so desperate to keep. And Vittoria was almost right. Except for one detail. She never could have predicted the way her death would change me.
There was nothing in this world or the next that would keep me from solving her murder. And I would solve it. I mulled over different theories during dinner service, barely concentrating at Sea and Vine. I kept trying to think like my twin. Some thoughts were wildly outlandish, others more plausible. But one idea stuck out from the others. This was the one I carefully considered as the day dragged on. Maybe because it seemed so impossible. Or maybe because Vittoria didn't believe in the word. Whatever the reason, the idea stayed with me as I chopped vegetables and cleaned my knives. I thought about it on the walk home. Then, while I changed into my nightgown and brushed out my hair, it haunted me, and I welcomed it. Later, once I was tucked into my bed, I pulled out the grimoire sheets again. I scanned the unfamiliar script and grinned. It was my first true smile in weeks, and it was as dark and vicious as my thoughts had been lately. Vittoria had at least tried to summon a demon. The longer I sat with that thought, the more I accepted its truth. Tomorrow night, I'd try and summon one myself. Then, if it worked, I'd make a bargain of my own. In exchange for a small favor, I'd ask it to break the spell on her diary. I had nothing to lose. The summoning would either be successful or it wouldn't. I'd never know what happened to my sister if I didn't set aside my doubts and try. With that, my decision was made. All I needed now was some bones. The next day at the restaurant passed by torturously, but I managed to make good use of my time in the kitchen. I gathered everything the grimoire page listed, and no one suspected a thing. Except maybe Nonna. My grandmother stared at me across the island, silently chanting, as if she could read my mind and conjure a spell to pluck out the next thought before it took root. Little did she know I'd been cultivating this idea since last night. I'd taken the bud of a plan and tended to it, urging it to blossom. Now it was full grown. I knew what I had to do. I just needed the supplies and opportunity. Nonna told us to hide from the Malvagi, to say our charms and bless our amulets with silvery shafts of moonlight and holy water, to never speak of the wicked when the moon was full, and to do all the things a good witch did. Otherwise, they'd steal our souls. In the end, the monster we feared didn't come from hell. He came from privilege. That man standing over my twin, with his fine clothes and expensive knife, deserved punishment like anyone else. He couldn't just take what he wanted without facing the consequences. I was almost certain that the people I'd shown it to must have recognized his blade, but refused to speak out about him, fearing the repercussions. He might be powerful and wealthy, but justice would find him. I'd make certain of it. I still wasn't sure if he'd acted alone, or if he was a member of the mysterious Strega Hunters. And it didn't matter. He was the only one there that night. I would hunt him down first and find out more information later. If there were more people like him, I'd deal with it then. I also had a plan to keep my family safe while tracking down Vittoria's killer. Instead of one simple bargain, I'd make two. First, I'd have the demon I summoned break the enchantment on Vittoria's diary. And then, I'd have it locate the mysterious dark-haired man. Thankfully, having a possession like the snake knife would allow for this. A demon I could control was the answer to a prayer. It seemed I'd been wrong earlier. The goddess of death and fury hadn't ignored my pleas. She'd simply been biding her time, waiting for me to turn my despair into something she could use. A twig was just a bit of broken wood until it had been sharpened into a spear. Grief carved me in half, and fury honed the pieces into a weapon. Now it was time to unleash it. Chapter 9. Bone magic, when used improperly, can be part of the forbidden arts. Using the bones of animals, claws, nails, fangs, shells, and feathers, allows a witch to connect with the underworld. They must be gathered ethically, not sacrificed, as is popularly taught by humans. To harness their power, create a bone circle and include herbs and objects of intent. Notes from the Decalo Grimoire. I stood inside the lip of the cave, listening as the sea smashed into the rocks below, angry and insistent. Salty spray raged up over the cliff, prickling the exposed skin on my arms and neck. Maybe the water was mirroring my mood, or maybe it sensed the darkness of the rolled parchment tucked beneath my arm. I certainly could. Witches were connected to the earth and channeled its powers into their own. I wouldn't be surprised if the sea was wary of what was coming, the dark power I was about to unleash upon our realm. The sea might be worried, but I was not. I had to wait hours for Nonna to finally fall asleep in her rocking chair before I collected my supplies and snuck out. Any lingering sense of worry was eclipsed by cold determination to carry out my plan. I had no idea how Vittoria came across these grimoire pages. It was another mystery to add to an expanding list, but I'd used them to my advantage. A strong gust of wind forced me deeper into the cavern. I'd not been entirely sure where I was going when I left the house, but felt drawn here. Vittoria used to find reasons for us to venture up to this cave as often as she could when we were children. It was almost as if she were here, guiding me now. The night air was balmy, but chills trailed sharp claws along my flesh. I held up my lantern, trying not to cringe away from the shadows dancing around the light. Summoning a demon in a dank cave where my screams couldn't be heard if something went wrong wasn't exactly how I would have envisioned my life 3 weeks ago. Back then, I would have happily spent my nights creating new recipes for sea and vine. I would have read steamy romance and wished a certain fratello would forsake his oath to God for one night and worship me instead. That was before I found my sister's desecrated body. My current wishes centered on two things: finding out who murdered my twin and why. Well, three wishes, if you counted my dream of gutting the bastard who killed Vittoria. That was more than a wish, though. That was a promise. Satisfied there wasn't anything lurking in the cave with me, like rats or snakes and other unpleasant surprises, I set my lantern on a flat rock and my basket of supplies on the packed dirt. I'd studied the summoning spell until my eyes crossed, but shivered a little anyway as I pulled out the items I needed. Black candles, fresh fern leaves, animal bones, a tiny jar of animal blood, and a bit of gold. I didn't have much of the latter lying around, so I brought the gold serpent dagger with me. It seemed only fitting that the mysterious stranger's blade would be used to hunt him down. If everything went smoothly, a lesser demon would be contained within the circle. I knew it wouldn't be able to leave the designated area, but I was still less than excited to be in a darkened place alone with a monster from hell. Even when easily controlled and magically bound. I glanced over the sheet of carefully written notes again, stalling. For the summoning to be successful, I needed to follow the rules of the ritual precisely. Any deviations could unleash the demon in this realm. First, I needed to set up the circle, alternating the candles, ferns, and bones. Next, I'd set the tiny jar of blood inside the circle's boundary. Then, I had to formally invite a demon to join me, using Latin, their native tongue. I hesitated on that point. Latin wasn't my favorite subject Nonna tried teaching us. There were so many words that were similar, but whose definitions were vastly different. One slight shift in meaning could bring disaster. It would have been less worrisome if I had more than a base understanding of the dark arts.
Or if Vittoria's summoning spell also included a trusted ancient phrase to use, instead of simply indicating one was needed based on the witch's intent. My true intention was to find out what my sister had been doing before her death, then track down the person who murdered her and kill him. Violence and blood vengeance wouldn't be the politest way to open a summoning, though. And I worried about the repercussions it could have. Luckily, I'd given great thought about what I wanted from the demon. I didn't want to offer any opportunity to escape the circle, and I certainly didn't want it to harm me. So I decided on Evitas Legati in Aeternas Protego, which roughly translated to bound forever in eternal protection. Forever seemed like a wise idea when it came to making sure a demon couldn't leave the circle. And if it was forced to protect me, it couldn't very well attack me. For the final portion of the spell, I needed to prepare an exit. Apparently, demons were creatures of strict rules and had to adhere to them. So, if I invited one to join me, I had to formally uninvite it and send it back to its realm. Good manners were advised, but I wasn't sure how well I could carry out that part. I took a deep breath. All right, Amelia, you can do this. I slowly set objects down in a circle. Bone, fern, candle. With varying lengths, they looked like rays of an occult sun. I lit the candles and walked around the perimeter, clutching a bird's skull to my chest, the final piece I needed to make it complete. I hesitated. If I placed this last bone in the formation, the circle would be set. I inhaled, then slowly exhaled. I had no idea what kind of demon would answer my call. Some looked human, and others were walking nightmares, according to Nonna. She never gave us specifics, which I wasn't sure was a blessing now. My mind was exceptional at picturing fang-toothed, claw-tipped, wicked creatures that crab-walked backward on multiple legs. Clouds floated across the moon, creating a distorted effect on the cavern walls. Chills caressed my spine again. The goddess of storm and sea wasn't pleased. I stared down at the skull I held, wondering if this was really the path I should take. Maybe I should blow out the candles and take myself back home and go to bed. Forget about demons, witch hunters, and the devil. Nonna said once darkness was invited in, trouble shortly followed. A flash of my twin's face, dark eyes sparkling with mischief, and her lips quirked up on one side, crossed my mind. Before I lost my nerve, I bent down and quickly fit the last bone into place. Silence swept around the chamber, sealing off the pleas of the sea. I crept over to the edge of the circle, the tiny jar of blood in my hand, when a powerful blast of wind tore through the cave. Bats screeched and flew at me, hundreds of them. I screamed, tossing up my hands to protect myself as they raged around me like a living storm. Distantly, I heard glass break. I dropped to my knees, covering my head as little wings and claws tore at my hair and neck. Then, as quickly as it had happened, the bats were gone, and the cave went still. I took a few deep, shuddering breaths and slowly pushed a tangle of hair from my face. During the brief attack, it came undone from its simple braid. Long, loose curls tickled my back like spiders, bringing on more goosebumps. Flower petals littered the ground, like soldiers who'd fallen in a skirmish they hadn't seen coming. I'd forgotten there was a closed-off tunnel near the very back of the cave. I pressed my lips into a thin line, furious with myself. If I could summon a demon, I could get over a bunch of bats. In theory. I stood on shaking legs and brushed myself down, shifting my attention to the summoning circle, and cringing at the broken glass winking in the moonlight. Blood splattered the ground around the perimeter, which was no good for me. I needed to be within its border to entice the demon. Stupid bats from hell! I didn't have another jar of blood, and walking all the way back to the restaurant would take forever. The spell needed to be cast at night, and daybreak was only a couple of hours away. I'd never make it there and back in time. I glanced around the cave, desperate enough to kill something if I needed to. Of course, now that I could use a bat or snake or another creature, it was truly empty. Kicking at rocks and muttering the sort of foul language that would make both my mother and Nana's head spin, I finally looked over Vittoria's mysterious grimoire sheet again. Technically, it didn't specify that animal blood was needed. It only advised using it. I relit the candles, then picked up the serpent dagger, reasoning that I needed it to complete the spell anyway. The time for hesitation and interruptions was over. Whether I liked it or not, if I wanted to break the spell on Vittoria's diary, this was my best option. If I had to offer a little of my own blood, it was a small price to pay. I ignored the pain as I dragged the blade over the top of my forearm. I needed my hands for cooking later and couldn't afford to cut my palm. The metal glowed as if pleased with my offering. Not wanting to think too hard about a blade that gloried in a blood sacrifice, I held my arm over the summoning circle and began chanting as soon as the first drops hit the ground. By earth, blood, and bone, I invite thee. Come, enter this realm of man. Join me. Bound in this circle until I send thee home. Evitas legati in aeternis protego. I held completely still, waiting for the earth to crack, the gates of hell to snap open, hordes of witch hunters to rush me or my heart to stop. Nothing happened. I was about to start chanting again when it began. Smoke swirled around the circle's edge like it had been trapped in a jar, never crossing into the rest of the cave. It pulsed with energy, almost lovingly caressed my hand. I dropped the dagger and yanked my arm back, hugging it to me until the sensation ceased. I couldn't believe what was happening. A stronger wave of darkness shifted around the circle, obliterating me inside of it completely from view. Black, glittering light emerged from the center. I could hardly breathe. A sound like a crackling fire in winter preceded the demon's arrival. I'd done it. I'd actually summoned a creature from hell. If I didn't pass out from shock, it would be a true success. I waited, heart hammering, for the smoke to clear. As if answering my unspoken wish, a phantom breeze carried it away, revealing a tall, dark-haired man. His muscular back was to me, and he wore only low-slung black pants. He wasn't at all what I expected from a lesser demon. Golden skin glistened in the candlelight, the smooth perfection broken only by an assortment of shimmering ink. His beauty was an affront to what evil ought to look like. I supposed I should be thankful he didn't have a serpent tail or wicked horns. The demon rotated in place, like he was getting acclimated to his new location. His chest and torso were chiseled in a way that indicated he was well acquainted with weapons. My attention dropped to a metallic gold tattoo that started on top of his right hand and coiled up and around his arm and shoulder. A fearsome snake. I didn't have time to catalogue its details because he was now fully facing me. I sucked in a sharp breath as I finally met his gaze. Dark gold irises with flecks of black stared back at me. Beautiful. Rare. And lethal. Even though none I claimed their eyes were tinged red, I knew in the very marrow of my bones what he was. Impossible, I whispered. He raised a brow. His expression was so human, I forgot for a second how he'd arrived in this cave. He shouldn't exist. Yet there he was, defying all of my expectations.
tall, dark, and quietly seething. I couldn't drag my attention from him, worried he was either a figment of my imagination or proof of madness. I'd used the dark arts. Maybe this temporary delusion was my price. It was much easier to think that was true, rather than accept I'd done the impossible. I'd bound one of the wicked to this realm, which was very, very bad. He was human-looking enough, but was the physical embodiment of a nightmare. Blood-drinking, soul-stealing, immortal creature of the night. I fought the urge to jump away from the circle and held his gaze instead. A storm raged within those eyes. It was like standing on the edge of a darkened shore, watching lightning dance closer across the sea. A lick of fear trailed down my spine as he defiantly stared back. I had never been more grateful that I'd also bound him to protect. Instinctually, I reached up and held my cornicello for comfort. He looked ready to... Sweet goddess of fury! His luchicare was black and gold. I'd only ever seen that once before. Recognition slammed into me, and I immediately dropped my cornicello and snatched my dagger from the floor. His dagger. The hilt was as cool as the icy rage now rushing through my veins. I'm going to kill you, I snarled, then lunged for him. Chapter 10. Bones scattered as I attacked. The blade arced down, slicing a long thin line across his hard chest. It should have pierced his heart, and it would have if he hadn't maneuvered back so swiftly. A strange, searing pain erupted under my skin. I didn't want to consider what it meant, that maybe the mixture of our blood on the strange blade created a charm of its own. Or maybe the protection incantation also prevented me from striking him with a killing blow. He yanked the dagger away with ease and tossed it on the ground. I balled my hand into a fist and aimed for his center. It was like hitting a rock wall. The demon stood there, allowing my assault to continue. While I exhausted myself with kicks and punches, he calmly looked around the chamber, enraging me more with his nonchalance. The demon didn't seem too worried, and I wondered how many times he'd been summoned and subsequently attacked. He studied the circle, and his attention jerked down toward me, immediately narrowing in on the fresh cut on my arm. A slow frown formed before he hid it. Why won't you bleed, monster? I was feral as I kicked and punched. My hatred and wrath so strong, I almost got drunk on the intensity of it. I glanced up in time to see him close his eyes, like he was enjoying those dark feelings too. Nona said demons pooled emotions to them, allowing them to wriggle and writhe around theirs. From the expression on his face, I was beginning to think that was true. Disgusted, I stopped punching him and took a moment to catch my breath and regroup. Blood slipped down my arm and dripped to the ground. It wasn't his, though. It was from the cut I'd made to summon him. I didn't care if I bled myself dry if I took him to hell with me.
Bit of advice, witch. Yelling, "I'm going to kill you," takes the surprise out of the attack.
He grunted as I landed a swift blow to his stomach. My punches were slowing, and he didn't look any worse for the wear.
You won't succeed in killing me, but it would be a vast improvement in skill.
Maybe I can't kill you, but I'll find other ways to make you suffer.
Trust me, your very presence is accomplishing that.
Blood drops hissed within the circle. That strange searing under my skin was growing unbearable, but I was too mad to pay attention.
What spell did you use, witch?
I stopped, breathing hard.
Vaffanculo, aquí te morto!
I wasn't sure if he knew exactly what the curse meant, but he must have deduced it had something to do with fornicating with dead family members.
He looked ready to drag me back to hell now. He suddenly staggered away, cursing.
What spell did you use?
Well, considering you're standing here, angry and unable to attack, I guess summoning spell, demon. I crossed my arms over my chest. And one for protection. Out of nowhere, gold light flashed over my arm before disintegrating into pale lavender. A tattoo in the same shade of purple. Twin crescent moons laying sideways within a ring of stars appeared on my outer forearm, burning almost as violently as my wrath. I stood there, panting, until the searing in my arm finally ceased. I watched as he looked down at his own arm and gritted his teeth. Apparently, he was also experiencing that awful pain.
Good. You demon-blooded witch! You marked me!
A pale tattoo had appeared on his formerly bare left forearm. Double crescent moons laying in a circle of stars. For a moment, he looked like he could hardly comprehend that I'd managed something so impossible. Honestly, I wasn't sure why he and I now had matching tattoos either, but would rather die than admit that to him. It must be the cost of the dark magic I'd used to summon him. I almost laughed. When Carolina told me the spells would summon a lesser demon, I'd had a hard enough time believing her. I wondered if I was having a nightmare. There was no way I'd actually summoned a prince of hell. It would take more magic than I possessed to control a creature like him for any good length of time. This is impossible.
On that much we can agree.
He thrust his arm at me.
Tell me the exact phrasing of this spell. We need to reverse it before it's too late. There's only precious minutes left.
No.
You have no idea what you've done. I need to know the exact phrasing. Now, witch.
I was pretty sure what I did, aside from royally annoy him, was ensure neither of us ended up dead by the other's hand. The tattoos likely acted as a magical bond of sorts. Unbinding us so he could rip out my heart like he'd done with my sister was the last thing I'd do. Unbelievable, I scoffed. Demanding things when you're not the one with the power here. His expression was one of pure disgust. I hoped it mirrored my own. I need to know who you are and why you killed my sister. Since you can't go back to your hell dimension without me allowing it, I suggest playing by my rules. I couldn't be sure, but there was a shift in the atmosphere around us, and I had the strangest impression his power slithered out, circled me, then slunk away. His nostrils flared. He was raging against the magical leash I'd put on him, straining to snap free. I watched, a small, spiteful smile curving my lips. If he didn't hate me before, I'd accomplish that tenfold now. Perfect. It seemed we finally understood each other.
One day, I'm going to be free of this bond. Think very carefully about that.
I stepped close to him, angling my face up. One day, I'm going to find a way to kill you. Think very carefully about that. Now, tell me who you are and why you wanted Vittoria dead. He offered me a smile that probably made men piss themselves. I refused to give in to fear.
Very well. Since you only have minimal time to hold me here, and have already wasted precious minutes with your poor excuse of an assassination attempt, I'll play your game. I am the Prince of Wrath, General of War, and one of the feared seven.
Before I could blink, he trailed a finger down my throat, pausing at the vein that throbbed beneath my skin. Undiluted dread shot through me. I shoved his hand away and stepped out of the summoning circle. I noticed the scattered bones and scrambled to put them back in place. His grin turned into something sharp and wicked.
Congratulations, witch. You've succeeded in getting my full attention. I hope you've prepared for the consequences.
Arrogance dripped off him. Only a fool wouldn't be terrified of the beast I sensed lurking beneath his skin. He radiated power, vast and ancient. I had little doubt he could end my life with nary a thought. All the same, the corner of my lips twitched. Then, without warning, I bent over and began laughing. The sound bounced off the walls of the cave, magnifying until I wanted to plug my ears. I clutched my stomach, practically heaving from my outburst. Perhaps I was going insane. This night had gone from bad to worse, faster than I could ever have imagined. I couldn't believe I'd summoned a prince of hell. I couldn't believe royal demons existed. The world was downside up and upside down.
I'm glad imminent death is so amusing, he snapped. It'll make it all the more satisfying to slaughter you. And I promise your death will not be quick. I will glory in the kill.
I waved him off like he was no more fearsome than a housefly. I could practically feel anger vibrating off him and winding its way to me. Even still, I had a feeling he was holding himself back. A lot. It was unsettling.
Why, pray tell, are you laughing so hard?
I straightened and wiped the corners of my eyes. What exactly should I call you? Your Highness? Oh, feared and mighty Seven? General Commander of Hell? Or Prince Wrath? A muscle in his jaw strained as he held my gaze.
One day, you'll call me Death. For now, Wrath will do.
Chapter 11. A prince of hell will never give their true name to their enemies. They can only be summoned through an object that belongs to them along with a powerful emotion. Their powers are tied to the scene they represent. Beware, for they are selfish beings who wish to use you for their gain. Notes from the Decalo Grimoire.
Wrath! I didn't bother hiding my incredulous tone. Setting aside the extremely melodramatic, you'll call me Death line, the whole obscene night ceased to be funny in this can't be happening cruel fate kind of way. First, I'd been convinced he was a witch hunter and had murdered Vittoria because of what she was, only to discover he was one of the creatures we'd been hiding from our whole lives. Then, to have the demon who killed my sister within my grasp and not be able to harm him. I must have really annoyed some goddess to be punished this horribly. His stupid name and all of his titles were the least of my concerns, but the anger pouring off him as I laughed made me inclined to torment him over it. That's ridiculous. I'm not calling you by an emotion. What's your true name? He pinned me with a cold stare as I retrieved his dagger.
My true name doesn't concern you. Address me by my house title. Unless you'd like to call me His Royal Highness of Undeniable Desire. That's always an acceptable option. If you want to bow, I wouldn't mind that either. A little groveling goes a long way. I may grant you a boon and make your death swift.
My lip involuntarily curled. Are you sure you're of House Wrath? If I didn't know better, I'd say you were general to a vacuous, shirtless battalion belonging to House Narcissism. His expression was anything but friendly.
You flatter me. If you're so repulsed by my company, why not set me free?
Never.
Dangerous word. I'd avoid speaking in absolutes if I were you.
They have a tendency to never stick.
I forced myself to breathe. What I had wanted before I recognized him were answers. Now I wanted to carve him into 1,000 bloody pieces and serve them to sharks. Why did you murder my sister? He slowly paced around the summoning circle, likely testing its strength.
Is that what you think? That I ripped out your sister's heart?
You were standing over her body, licking her blood from your fingers, you revolting beast. I drew in a furious breath, watching him closely, though it was an effort in futility. His expression was inhumanly blank. Not one emotion betrayed his thoughts. Without thinking, I reached up and clutched my cornicello again. Why did you murder my sister?